Welcome to the Astral Projection Astral Podcast, brought to you by Ali Wiley. Hello everyone. A lady called Heidi Scary recently interviewed me about my out-of-body experiences. I would like to share this interview with you today. Check out Heidi's book, Red Willow's Quest, available from her website, www.bluestarvisions.com. Okay, let's go with the interview.
Hello, I'm Heidi Scary. Today I'm going to be talking to Allison Wiley, who is the author of Astral Dancer, True Stories of Healing and Adventure from the Beyond. Allie teaches how to astral travel and is part of a group called Project Radiant Light. Before we start discussing your book, Allie, would you explain what astral travel is and how you started doing it?
I'll try to be brief because astral travel involves so much that it would be impossible to cover it, I think, even in a day. Astral travel, to me, is at night, when I'm asleep, I wake up inside of my body and I manage to get out of that body. So it's my consciousness which is actually leaving my body. But we say leaving, but it's really an internal thing. It's not an external. We say out-of-body experiences, but really it's not out-of-body. It's like you're going deeper into who you are. So astral travel really is a bit misleading because there's different planes. There's the real time zone, then there's the astral plane, then there's the mental plane, the spiritual plane, and other higher planes. So to call it just astral travel is a bit of a misnomer, but that is a general term that is used. Or maybe out-of-body experiences is probably a better term to use because it involves all the different planes. But it's really just leaving your body. You can do it during the day as well, during meditation, but I usually do it at night because that's the time when I'm most relaxed. It all started for me back in the year 2000, when I started looking into my dreams more, and I really wanted to learn how to lucid dream intentionally. So it all started from there, really. I started doing techniques to lucid dream, and these techniques to lucid dream led me out of body, which was fantastic, really. It was like a side effect of all my dream work was out of body experiences.
Okay. And what exactly is a lucid dream?
Well, a lucid dream, simply put, is when you wake up in a normal dream and you know that you're dreaming. There is no doubt at all. You know that you are dreaming. And then in a lucid dream, obviously, you can control the dream. You can do what you like, really. Or you can even leave the lucid dream and turn it into an out-of-body experience. There's a fine line between lucid dreaming and out-of-body experiences. It's all a matter of how tuned in you are, how focused, how conscious you are. But when you're having a lucid dream, you know you are dreaming and it is different from an out-of-body experience. This is in my experience anyway.
You know, when we were talking earlier, you said astral traveling isn't so much about getting out of your body as connecting to your spiritual self. Can you elaborate on that a little?
Yes. Astral travel is just the technique to go further into who you are. If you want to astral travel, your technique will be improved by a kind of spiritual longing. It's like the desire to know yourself better, the desire to know the spiritual, a strong desire to reconnect to your higher self, with the source, with God, with all that is, whatever term you're familiar with. And I think that is the major catalyst. It's a desire to know who you are. At least that's what really got me out of body, because I didn't actually have a desire to leave my body. In fact, I didn't even think I was ready. When I was doing my lucid dream practicing, I knew about OBEs and astral travel, because when you read about lucid dreams and dreaming, it always comes up. So I'd read a lot about it and I knew exactly what it was. It's just that I really didn't think I was ready. But it was my desire to go deeper into who I was that really made the difference. And that's what got me out of body, the desire to go deeper into who I was and to know who I was at first-hand experience, not through other books. I wanted to find out exactly for myself what was on the other side. And that's what got me out, the spiritual longing to connect.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that you have to have the desire to want to go beyond. We also talked about that all paths are valid. This was just the one that you chose.
Yeah, exactly. I think there are many, many different paths because there are many, many different people in the world and we're all different. So out-of-body experiences, astral travel, might not be for everyone, and that's fine. It's just that it was a path that I found most suitable to my adventurous character, I suppose, to boldly go where no man has gone before. I always loved Star Trek, and I always wanted to go where no one had gone before, although other people have gone there before. But it was like a real adventure. I wanted to do something a bit different, and I wanted first-hand experience of the other side. But of course, it's not for everyone. Everybody has their own spiritual path, and astral travel, as I said before, might not be for everyone. So it's not the only path. It's another path that people can use to explore the beyond, to explore who they really are, etc., etc.
Yeah, I think what's so exciting about it is that it becomes your own experience. You're not taking somebody else's truth, you know, as sort of a third party, somebody else's explorations, but you're having your own adventures and learning for yourself what truth is, what lies beyond the world. And I think that's the beauty of out-of-the-body travel or astral travel. Well, let's start talking about your book, Astral Dancer. What inspired you to write Astral Dancer?
Well, it wasn't actually a book that I decided to sit down and write. I'd already written most of the experiences because I started writing a dream dictionary. So all my dreams are written down. And then when I started having out-of-body experiences, I started writing those down as well. So the whole thing was actually written before I even decided to turn it into a book. In fact, it was William Bulman. He's an out-of-body experience expert. He actually told me, oh, you have a book there, when I explained my experiences with this past life. And oh, a lot of my friends said, oh, you should write a book because your experiences are incredible. So that was really why I put it all into a book. It was from encouragement from friends and also because the book was really already there. Through the months that I had these experiences, I was writing a book without even knowing that I was writing a book, basically.
Sure.
Yeah, so the real inspiration behind it was more encouragement from friends to put everything together, to write everything down, because some of the implications in the book are really mind-blowing, that we can travel back in time and heal past selves. And it also blows your mind open to the fact that time is flexible. We see everything in linear time because otherwise the world wouldn't work. We have to see everything in linear time. Otherwise, everything would be confused. But in the astral, nothing is in linear time, and it's all the big now, as everybody talks about. It really is the big now. So in that now, you can go back, as we say, to a past life and heal a past life. And in that sense, even though it's a past life to you, and that is a past self, you are actually a future self. So it all gets a bit mixed up. And when we talk about past lives, future lives, because really it's all just in the big sphere of the now.
Yeah, that's pretty complicated, you know, to try to get into that time sort of being an illusion in a sense, or not existing in the inner worlds, but in the outer worlds being very necessary. Your book was sort of divided into two parts, and the first part being about past life through dreams and the body travels, and the second about dreams and astrals. So maybe we should look first at the first part of the book, and you open the chapter from the point of view of Danny, who you said is yourself in a past life. And I was curious as to why you opened the book from this perspective, and how did you come that Danny was you in a past life?
I opened the book in that way. It wasn't really a choice I made. It just happened. It just seemed the right thing to do. Because all along, it was almost as if I had a conversation going with Danny. We used to meet while I was out of body. One time we met in a bar at out of body school, which was quite nice. So really, it wasn't conscious choice. It was how everything seemed to run. It just naturally seemed that way, that the narration for the first part of the book should be done by Danny. It was orchestrated by probably our higher self, but he was the one that kind of maybe reached into me calling for help. Because when I was 13, I wrote a poem about a man who committed suicide. Now, as a 13-year-old, I was a happy-go-lucky 13-year-old. There was nothing about suicide in my life. I was brought up in a lovely English village, idyllic atmosphere, lovely family. There was nothing. Why would I write a poem about suicide? And my mum kept it because the poem was actually written from the point of view of the man who was already dead. The poem, I think, I called A Reminiscing Spirit, as if it was the spirit reminiscing about what he had done in his life and in the end committed suicide by throwing himself into a canal. And that was at the age of 13. So I think Danny has always been with me. It's just that it didn't come to the surface until I started really examining my dreams, because it all started with these crazy, wild, terrifying dreams that I was a young boy or a girl and I was being chased by a man. Sometimes I was a girl, sometimes I was a boy, but it was always a man who was chasing me and wanted to hurt me or even kill me. There were so many of these dreams that it was impossible that it didn't mean something. So I started looking into these dreams and they started coming more often. And then when I started having out-of-body experiences, I started having rather frightening out-of-body experiences, because obviously I was dealing with something that I needed to deal with. And I was given the opportunity to deal with it now in this life. And that's how I see it. I really see it as an opportunity. Even though some of the OBEs were really quite scary, I still saw it as an opportunity to heal myself. That's what kept me going, really, because it was just so great to have this opportunity to do something for your bigger self. And I knew that if I didn't face it all now, I would just have to face it another time. Because whatever you've caused in another life, whatever emotions you've sent out, it has to be dealt with. So that was my motto, really. It's now, or I have to do all this again in, who knows, another life or later on in my life. So why not face it and get it out of the way? So I did. And I ended up facing this really big cloud of negative energy. It used to chase me around in my OBEs. It was really quite frightening, but it wasn't an entity as such. It was just like a big negative cloud. It was almost all the anger, all the guilt, all the shame that I'd felt in this past life that I'd never dealt with. So I was being given this opportunity to dissolve all this emotion by facing it all and just getting it out of the way. So that's what I did, really.
Do you want to talk about the experience you had on the bridge with Danny?
Oh, yes. I went to a seminar by William Bulman. Usually he comes to Italy every year and gives seminars on out-of-body experiences. And I went to one, and just by chance, he did a past life regression. And it was such an amazing experience. This is really the first time I actually made contact with Danny. And he took us back into a past life. And we had to kind of like open the gate and walk through the gate, and then the other side of the gate would be a past life. And the other side of the gate for me was a canal, and there was a bridge going over the canal, and there was a young man on the bridge. And I knew instantly that I knew him, and I walked up to him and we held hands, and it was like meeting another part of myself. You instantly know it's a part of you. And the experience that I felt, I had tears running down my cheeks. I was totally conscious, though I was on the bridge as well. And I could feel the tears running down my cheeks, and I was very hot, and my heart was pumping 10 to the dozen. I was wondering what was going on. But at the same time, I felt ecstatic. I felt as if I'd met another part of myself, and it made me feel a little more complete. And I think by meeting Danny on the bridge, maybe I'd arrived at the point in his life when he was about to commit suicide, and by meeting him on that bridge, I prevented him from committing suicide. We started working on it from there as well. I met Danny as a young child, and then I met him as a teenager, and then I met him as a young man as well. But until I'd healed him, I never met him as an older man. Afterwards, I met him in an out-of-body experience as an older man, and he was now a teacher. And that was the person that was narrating the book. It was the older Danny sitting on the steps, you know, because he'd been able to continue with his life now because I'd changed his path. So then that implies that we can actually change the past, which is quite a big thing to say. But in my, some people might disagree with me, but in my experience, you can change the past. And maybe you can take that, that past self on a different probable life. So now Danny is healed. He didn't commit suicide anymore. He went on the other probable path and he became a teacher. This is all really mind-blowing, but still amazing to me when I talk about it, sitting here in my attic in the sleepy hills of Molise. It all still seems so incredible, even though it happened to me and I went through it and I, you know, I lived it, because it wasn't like it was just one out-of-body experience. It wasn't a one-off. It went on over years, really, because when I think about the poem that I wrote when I was 13 and living my life, carrying all this guilt and anger, I wasn't aware that I was carrying it at all. But after I dealt with the big cloud of negative energy, I felt so light. And it was incredible. I thought, wow, I was really carrying all that and I didn't realise it. So it makes you wonder how much we do carry that we don't need to carry, that we can just let go.
Right. I think that's the big thing, is how does remembering our past lives help us today? And you've kind of addressed that there we can feel lighter, we can let go of pain and anger that's coming forward from past lives that maybe we don't even know where this pain and anger is coming from. But by remembering it and dealing it, facing it, and then letting go of it and healing from it, we can be more joyful in this life. Do you have any techniques to help people remember their own past lives?
Well, I used my dreams. I think if you have a past life that needs dealing with, you can find it first in your dreams. Because obviously not all our past lives we need to remember, because many of our past lives probably went, they were quite happy and, you know, nothing major happened and there was nothing to deal with. I think the past lives that we maybe do us good to remember are those that we need to, that are still affecting us now. And I think a lot of the stuff that we need to deal with is always addressed in our dreams. It's all held in our dreams, and you can reach anything from a dream. When we're in the physical, we are so weighed down by the physical reality. We're so focused in the physical reality. But when you dream, your consciousness can fly. It can discover things about you that you in normal physical existence, maybe it wouldn't occur to you. It's exactly what happened to me. It never occurred to me that I had had a past life as an abuse victim. Really, it didn't occur to me at all. I only came to that knowledge through my dreams. Obviously, there may be many other methods, like this past life regression that I did with William Bulman. But as I said, I came to know everything through my dreams and then through out-of-body experiences.
So maybe one of the first steps would be to keep a dream journal, maybe putting it next to the side of your bed before you go to sleep and making the intention that you would like to remembers a past life that would help you, or that's maybe standing in your way of progressing spiritually in this life. And just by having that intention, focusing on it, writing down your dreams, over time some of your dreams will be of past lives and you'll start opening up for you. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if I hadn't have written down all my dreams, maybe it would never have occurred to me, because the reason all this occurred to me was because I was having so many reoccurring dreams that were very similar. Through writing down all your dreams, you can see a storyline that runs through them. Obviously, some dreams are dreams that deal with stuff that happened to you during the day. You know, there are different levels of dreams, different types of dreams. So the more you write down your dreams, the more you recognise the different types of dreams that we in fact have. And then you can see that some dreams are actually related. And that's how I got the book, really, because I saw, wow, I was reading through my dreams and I remembered another dream that I'd had. And I was like, oh, that was very similar to that one. Wow. And then I realized it wasn't just the same dream over and over again. It was actually a progression. At each dream, I made progress and it built itself up into a climax when I met the negative energy. It wasn't just from nothing. I was prepared in a lot of dreams for that final climax. And if I hadn't have had my dream diary by the side of my bed to write everything down, I would never have realised all this. Because there were so many clues in the dreams. For example, the fact that Danny, I experienced him as a boy and a girl. Now, why was that? And in another out-of-body experience that started off as a lucid dream, I met Danny. He was very pale, very thin. He was he had one of those woolly hats on, you know, that teenagers wear, and a pair of baggy jeans, which were far too big for him. And he introduced himself as Mary. Now, why would he introduce himself as Mary? And then it struck me that he'd actually been used as a girl, if you know what I mean. So all these clues came through dreams. So if you just write one dream down every now and again, it's not going to do any good. It's not going to take you further into who you are. You have to write them all down, and you have to be constant, and you have to be committed and determined as well to get there. It was a lot of work, but it was all worth it. And it was a lot of emotion as well. It was a roller coaster of emotions. So you can imagine I was living my normal life with my kids and my family. Of course, I had to be happy. I couldn't let this take over either. I couldn't let it take over my physical life because it wasn't part of my life now, but it was something that had to be dealt with. You have to draw the line. You have to know that that is the astral. That is your out-of-body life, and the physical life is different, although they are connected. You have to like kind of cut off, because sometimes the things that you have to deal with in the astral are quite scary. But at the same time, you have your family, you have your life, you have your work, and you chose to be here, so you have to get on with that as well. It's very important when you practice out-of-body experiences that you have that balance, that you don't go too much towards out-of-body experiences and become too lost, because it's also important to remain with feet firmly on the ground, because we decided to come here to the earth and we've got life purposes which need to be carried out. So it really is so important to have that balance.
Yeah, I think too that we all have spiritual guides or guardian angels, however people want to refer to them, or if they're Christian they might ask for Jesus. I think we, before we do about out of the body or an astral, you can tune into that and ask your own personal guide to be there with you, or your guardian angel, or whoever you look to help guide you to the kind of experiences that you need, and not go into unnecessary negative experiences and negative areas, so that you get some kind of protection and guidance. Because there are a lot of spiritual guides and beings out there that can help us, and where there is some negativity, and you can go overboard and become unbalanced. I think the records of past lives are kept, I've read, is on the causal plane, which is right above the astral plane, and it's an area that you can go into, and some people even read their past lives like a deck of cards. I related to what you were saying about emotions. I've recently wrote a book about a past life where I was an English woman captured from the Vikings and sold into slavery. Obviously, there was a lot of negative things that happened in that lifetime that you had to kind of work through and not let affect me in this lifetime. So in the second part of your book, Astral Dancer, you shared dreams where you help people in other worlds. How did you come to do this kind of work?
Well, when I had my first run-in with this negative energy and my experiences with Danny, I really thought that would be it. I really thought, well, that's the end of negative energy, great, you know. It was a real relief. But then it started showing up everywhere. It was like every now and again I'd have another, you know, another big cloud to deal with. It was almost like it was a test to see if I was capable of doing the follow-up. So once I was able to face my own fear, then I could go and help people face theirs, which is a really important step. And I realised that I was actually quite good at it. I was quite good at going into the astral. And this is the astral planes now we're talking about, because in the astral, there are the lower levels of the astral planes where often people get stuck. When they die, maybe they've got too many emotional problems and which they have to deal with, or some people don't even realise that they're dead. So sometimes I had to go and tell people that they were actually dead, you know, because they were too attached to the earth and they really couldn't understand And it's not like you can go up to someone and say, listen, you're dead. It's not like that at all. I had to enter into their world, because they had this whole world built around them. It was this whole illusion. And it's almost like you have to build a bridge into them so that they can come out. So you have to kind of play their game and become part of their illusion and try and persuade them with whatever means you can that there is something else, there is light and love, and you don't have to be lost in all this emotion and fear and guilt. So I think my experiences with Danny led me on to these other astral rescues that I did, that came to me in dreams and out-of-body experiences, because I think sometimes dreams and out-of-body experiences are mixed in the fact that messages can come to you in dreams, and then in an out-of-body experience you can actually consciously go and deal with it. And often I had these negative, I don't like to call them negative entities, because it was really just negative energy. Most of the times, well, all of the times that this has happened to me, there has always been a positive ending. Sometimes it was quite frightening, but squashing the fear and using compassion and love, you get to the bottom of the problem, and there was always someone at the end of this negative energy that I could help. And it's not that I heal them, I don't. I make a tunnel or a bridge so that the other light beings that aren't incarnated on the earth can then get through to them. Because often these people that are stuck, they recognize the vibration of a person who is still incarnated, because they are still nearer the earth vibration, whereas they don't recognize, for example, the vibration of a higher being, because they're vibrating at a very higher rate. So they don't let them in, but they will let in someone who has an earthly feel about them, an earthly vibration. That's why I think many people do this work in the astral and they don't even realize it. We all leave our bodies when we sleep. It's just that most of us don't remember. And I think a lot of us actually go out to do this work to help people that are stuck in the astral, that need to be taken on. They need the light to get through. They need to go and heal. But they can't heal until they let someone in. I think a lot of us do this work without even realizing.
Yeah, I think that's very true, that there's a lot going on in the inner worlds that we're just not aware of in the physical, whether we're going out and helping people on the other side who have died. A lot of times it's in a violent situation, something like an earthquake or a tidal wave or even war, a bombing, something where, you know, they die suddenly, they don't have any time to prepare themselves, or maybe their belief system is that there is no afterlife, so they can't realize they're dead. And so some of us go and help them, that we have various jobs that we do in the inner worlds. It's really fascinating to think that you have another life beyond the physical. And one of the things we talked about yesterday is that there's, and you even brought it up, that you can have out of the body, go to a class for out of the body, to learn how to do out of the body. You can go to a class on how to be a better mother, you said, that you even went to one like that, or you can go to a class on writing, learning just about anything you'd want to learn. There's schools and places, even museums, where there's inventions and inventors have gone to and picked up ideas. So there's quite a vast world out there, and it really has been written about by a lot of different writers, but it's and never become part of common knowledge, I think, part of the mainstream thinking. It's always a little bit on the edge.
Yes, I think that's a shame, really, because in a way we're strangling our own culture, because that is also part of our culture, isn't it? When you think about it, that's a part of who we are. So to learn about all this stuff that we do when we're asleep can only benefit us. It cannot harm us. Obviously, we're always with a spiritual attitude. There's a lot of negativity in the astral as well. Just as there's negativity in our world, we can't escape that. But if you go into out-of-body experiences with a spiritual mind and the desire to grow, then you will, and you will be given opportunities. Also, in your life, it's almost as if the two kind of link up and you start having incredible synchronicities. The fact that you can leave your body and you can go to learn something is brilliant. I've often found myself in out-of-body school, and I didn't actually have this experience, but that I read in a book that this man left his body and he found himself in the place where pregnant women go to learn how to be mothers, to get all that maternal instinct. And he said it was really beautiful. They were singing and there was all this light above their head. He said it was really, truly amazing. And he also said that in the spiritual world, one of the most important jobs on the earth is actually being a mother. That is considered the most important job in the spiritual world. So here on the earth, we kind of got things a bit topsy-turvy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things before we leave the subject of past lives and reincarnation is to just touch on the fact that, you know, we get reincarnated here on Earth many, many times, maybe thousands of lifetimes, maybe even on other planets and places. But eventually that, you know, we learn more about love. We learn what we've how to give and receive unconditional love, and we evolve, be developing whether self-knowledge or self-consciousness to the point where we no longer have to be reincarnated in the physical world. So it isn't an endless cycle. Eventually we do go to another level, but we don't necessarily go all the way to, you know, one heaven, maybe reincarnated in some of the planes above the earth before you get into the God worlds. Do you have any experience or insights or thoughts on that?
My goals now is actually to go beyond the astral and into the mental planes. I'm the sort of person that has to do things gradually. So now I can't say I've conquered the astral planes, but I want to go further. And so the next step is the mental planes. A few times I found myself on the mental planes. The feeling is just incredible. One time I experienced myself as the universe, which was really mind-blowing, because if I experience myself as a universe, then we all are the universe. And then you realise the enormity of who we really are and how we really are all one, although we are all different. And yes, I think in the end, you do go beyond the earth. In the end, it's all about service, finding who you are and your purpose in life and helping people with that. For example, through astral projection, I've realised that I want to bring astral projection to the world and make it an everyday subject that everyone talks about. Because even now, some people are a bit scared about talking about this subject, or they think it's to do with the devil and all this sort of stuff. But it's just a way of coming to know who we are. And I would even like it taught in schools, actually, to tell you the truth, because I think it is a part of us. And this is what I'm saying, that when you find your purpose in life, you can use that to help other people. And that's why we're here. We're here to help other people. We're here to serve. We're here to be nice to each other, not to be horrible to each other. It doesn't make sense if we're horrible to each other, if we're all the universe. It's like we're fighting against ourselves. So I would say this. I don't know where we go after we've finished our incarnations on this earth. I wouldn't even like to say, because I just don't have any idea. Obviously, we grow and we go to other planes. Maybe we even go to other dimensions, totally different to the one we've been used to learn how to live there. I really don't know. I really think we should make the most of who we are now, because making the most of who we are now, you can change everything. And yeah, it's true. You can even change the world. Because if everyone started to look in instead of fighting with the external reality, I'm sure the world would instantly be a better place.
Right.
I'm always quite an optimistic person, and I do believe that if everyone starts to look inside at who they are and we discover that we really are quite powerful spiritual beings, you know, I don't think a lot of people realise that we are in fact very powerful, and we need to take that power back. We really do. We need to take our power back as a race, as humanity, and get going. It really is time.
It's an interesting thing, though, because I think that the world is, everybody is where they need to be. In a sense, the world is created to be a hard place so that we can learn the lessons. Apparently, soul isn't able to learn by everything just being jolly.
Oh, I can go along with that. Some of the experiences I've had in the astral are certainly not jolly. But I do think it's also important to keep a sense of humour.
Yes, yeah. It certainly is.
Yeah.
So do you have any techniques for astral travelling that you'd like to share?
The first technique I used, which was actually a lucid dreaming technique, but it was the one that got me out of body, was simply trying to stay awake while you're falling asleep. You have to try and keep your consciousness awake while your body falls asleep, because once your body's asleep, your consciousness is awake. You can then focus your consciousness on something else and then leave your body. I mean, it all sounds quite simple, but it does work with practice. You have to just relax in bed and just let yourself go down and down and down and down, almost as if you're going down in a lift. You mustn't concentrate. Your consciousness must be there, but it must be quietly present. Otherwise, you'll concentrate too much and you'll never be able to go to sleep. But it's just basically about sinking down and then letting go of the physical body, which is probably the most difficult, because you also have to let go of your breathing. And to let go of your breathing is quite difficult, because we know that if we stop breathing, we die. But you have to let go of consciously breathing, and you just have to focus your consciousness somewhere else, externally to your physical body. I find it quite a nice sensation, sinking down, down and down. Not everybody enjoys it. With practice, you come to enjoy all the sensations out-of-body experiences bring. And of course, there are many, many different techniques. If you do a Google search on internet, you come up with all the different techniques. And obviously, different techniques suit different people. Try a few and see which one suits you. I used another visualization technique. I spent all my childhood in my parents' garden, so I know that garden just so well. I know it like the back of my hand. I know the smells. I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like in summer, winter, autumn. And so I used that, and I had a photograph as well. And every now and again during the day, I would take out the photograph and imagine myself flying around the garden. And when I went to sleep, I would imagine myself there, and I would imagine the smell of the apple tree, the feel of the bark that I used to climb up this apple tree when I was a kid. And I would imagine all the smells in the summer, the smells of the wet grass, in the autumn, the leaves. And I would really bring it to life in my imagination. And it worked, because I still find myself there sometimes. It's almost become like a base camp, my parents' astral garden. I suppose I used a combination of lots of techniques, and even now I change my technique. Depends what I feel like.
Well, those are all great techniques for people to try. Do you have any plans for writing any other books?
I think I could write books for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Some of my experiences, there was one particular experience which I really must make a book out of. I called it Bugsy and Molly, because this young man, he came to me to ask for my help, because his love, the love of his life, was stuck in the lower astral planes. So he actually came to me to ask me to help him to reach her. And we did it together, and it was great, and we got them back together again. And that went on for, I think that was a few months, that one. I've got it all written down in my dream and OBE diary, so one day that will become a book as well.
Well, that sounds like a nice romantic story.
Oh, yes.
So what is your web address?
Oh, yes, my website is www.astralwings.com, and from there is also a free astral projection program that you can sign up for there. You can also access my podcast. Everything is there, so I won't give you the addresses of all my other bits and pieces, because if you go to Astral Wings, you can see everything is clickable from there. So that's the main site.
Okay. And in closing, I guess you have two other projects you're involved with, Project Radiant Light and Healing Hands for Humanity. And I guess they can go to your site and read more about those.
Oh, yes, everything's on the site. Project Radiant Light is a spiritual forum where we go and have a chat. We talk about out-of-body experiences, astral travel, as well as all sorts of other stuff. Anything that life kind of throws at you, that's what we talk about there. And then there's Healing Hands for Humanity, which is another project that the founder is Linda Curtis. I actually co-founded that with her. And it's all about bringing humanity together. Also, if you go to my site, you can find us there as well.
Well, thank you, Allie. It's been interesting talking with you today and finding a lot of in-depth things about your book. Anybody that would like to find out more about astral travel and Allie's adventures might want to pick up this book, Astral Dancer. It's on Amazon. It's also on Allie's website. So thank you so much for talking to me today, Allie.
It was a real pleasure. I enjoyed it. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Remember, my book, Astral Dancer, is now available as an ebook. I'm also giving away a mini ebook on how to leave your body. So pop over to www.astralwings.com for more details. Bye for now.